Love that. I would love a nice drink right now.
I mean, it's Monday. That feels like it's, I haven't had a day off in weeks, even though I haven't really worked a full week in 4 weeks. So I think that that's maybe why is that I'm like, I shouldn't be working on Mondays according to my schedule the past couple of weeks.
Mondays yeah. According to recent knowledge, I shouldn't be here.
Like I shouldn't be here. But alas, I am. So you deserve a drink.
Nice. I'm drinking water.
That's really big of you.
I don't really drink during the weekdays.
I usually don't either, but I had to test. I had to test my hypothesis.
That's so fair. You had to test it out. I mean, if there was a potential new gin drink in my life, I'd be testing it out.
You'd have to test it. So yeah. I'll give myself a pass, even though I did a lot of drinking the past week. So tough for me. Anyway, enough about alcohol.
Anyways.
Even though potential big year of alcohol for the girls.
Potential big year of alcohol. Not hard alcohol, though. Anyways, let's chat. Let's talk. Let's discuss. Welcome to everyone who's listening. This is TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. As the name would suggest, my name is Kate.
I'm Nicole.
And this is our show. We're the
This host. Is our silly little show.
Just a weekly hang. Just a weekly hang with the besties.
I'm excited today because we have so much F1 content to discuss because last couple of weeks, obviously it's been slow, but this past weekend we had testing and we had Drive to Survive. So much to consume.
So much to consume. So, I mean, I feel like let's just kick it off with Drive to Survive. That's biggest thing that happened. Overall impressions. I really liked it. I think I enjoyed this season more than I've enjoyed a season in
a couple
of years.
Okay, because I have the opposite where I'm like
– I really liked it. I thought that it like – I my thing with the past couple years is that it just felt like so formulaic. Like it was like – I don't know. I just feel like they got stuck in a rut, like a little bit of a creative rut, and they were just doing the same things. And I felt like especially – I think it was especially last year. It was like they tried to be really chronological with the races, but like then the storylines weren't matching up. So it was like they were trying, but then they had to keep like backtracking and like – I don't know. It just kind of threw me off. But this year I liked that like – I don't know. I watched the whole season. Like I watched all of last season. So I was like, I don't need – to see all the racing. Like that's not why I'm watching this show. So I liked that the racing was a little bit of like the subplot. And I liked that they focused a little more on like interpersonal dynamics. Like it was very like team structure focused. And I liked that it was like I liked that they had more dedicated episodes to teams. Like I felt like pretty much every team got like some time in the sun here, and like we learned about the drivers or about like whatever was like the biggest piece of news or the biggest storyline for them. So I really liked that, and I felt like we went a little bit more like I don't know, I felt like a lot of the stuff that we saw I hadn't seen throughout last season. Like yes, we saw some racing stuff, but there was other like events that they went to and like things that they did that like we didn't get to see that I liked having that more like behind the scenes look.
I guess for me, I just felt it was a little too team principal heavy for me.
That was a lot of people's complaints. Yeah.
And then also, I just was like, again, maybe it's because you and I consume every single piece of news that comes out, not only about the sport, but also the drivers, that I was just like, nothing is new here for me. Like, I just was like, I can understand if we did not do this like as a job that it would have been an excellent season. Like I feel that, but for me I was just like, okay, I feel like there's nothing really new here. I'm like, I don't feel like I'm learning any more about the drivers than I don't already know. I was just like, I want more of just like behind the scenes and less kind of like storytelling. I'd rather have it be more like reality TV series than docuseries now, because like how much more of this like storytelling are we really going to be able to tell?
I don't know. I think every season is a new story. Like every season has like new things that are going on. Like I don't know. I like that they follow different stories, and I liked I felt like we did get behind the scenes stuff. I liked seeing, I don't know, like we went to like Danny and Blake's house in Australia. Mm-hmm. And like we went to Christian's house and there was like a big Red Bull event. And like I think seeing the drivers in those scenarios, we don't necessarily see all the time.
But I want more of that. Like yeah. I would want more of that than just like the interviews and then like some stuff of them on track. Like yeah. I prefer a whole season of like off track kind of stuff. Yeah. But again, that's just a personal preference.
Yeah.
Neither here nor there.
I don't know. I feel like I like compartmentalized and I was like, this is just like a fun season. Like I liked it. I thought they did a good job between like racing and off track. And I don't know. I liked the team principal stuff because I feel like those are people that we don't necessarily get to hear from a lot. So it was nice to learn about them a little more. And like the drama last season was team principal drama. Like it was like so much of that, that I was like, that was the storyline that we were going to go with. And
we had too much Otmar. I was like, okay, enough.
I mean, Alpine had two episodes. So, yeah. I mean, Alpine was a fucking mess last year.
Well, which apparently there was so much drama. Like maybe this year too.
Yeah, but like there was so much drama with them. I'm like, track. I get it that they had to like do that because other people didn't like have that much drama that they felt like they had to like make up drama. I don't know. So I don't know. All around, I feel like I'm a glass half full kind of gal, and I just enjoy any piece of new like F1 content. And I really liked it. I felt enjoyed watching it.
I gave it a 6 out of 10.
Okay, I'd probably go like 7.5.
Okay, so. I feel like we're pretty – it's not like I'm a 0 and you're a 10. Like, yeah. I feel like we're kind of in the same.
We're pretty close.
I had higher expectations, I guess. Like, the bar for me was just a little bit higher. So I went in. I don't know either. I just was like, wow, this is – because I feel like last season there were so many new things. Like, with Vegas, I was like, oh, there's, like, going to be so many storylines that are going to be, like, new and interesting. And I just felt like they kind of played off old things. So it's fine. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's the conundrum of – there's too many storylines. They can't touch on everything or it would feel so disjointed.
Yeah.
Like it would have felt like nothing happened. So I feel like they had to just be like, okay, we're focusing on like these more like overarching things that are happening in this season and going with that other than like every single thing that happened, because otherwise, I don't know, I feel like we lived that. Like we were there for all of those things. So like, I don't necessarily need everything to be covered in Drive to Survive. I like, feel like it's a tough job for them to take 22 races and put it into 10-hour-long episodes. There's no way.
Yeah.
It's literally taking a full book series and putting it into one movie. So there's no winning.
Yeah.
There's no winning there. You're never going to get everything.
I still watch it. We're still talking about it. Like,
yeah.
I think there were a lot of memeable moments.
I think – so we asked we asked the community – to send us like their thoughts and their like OMG moments so that we could react to them on the pod. So I am going to start. I have like my random little picker and I put everyone's thoughts in here. And so I'm going to pick randomly and we'll see what we're going to talk about right now.
Perfect.
First thing is that there was no Checo.
True. Which
I didn't even realize. Checo is so forgettable to me. I did not even realize it until someone put this in our question box. And I was like, oh my God, we did not see Checo almost at all.
Well, do you think that he went the Max route and was like, I don't want to be involved? Because I feel like there were a couple bits of Max, but I also feel like it was more just like in passing. Like it was just like he was there in the scene.
Yeah, I feel like the Red Bull episodes more had to do with Christian
AlphaTauri, so
I don't know, because Checo was in it sometimes, but that he was just never a focus, and like he did so bad last year that like that felt like a storyline that could have been told, especially as they're like talking about people that are not delivering on what they should be doing.
But again, like, maybe it's because Red Bull has had such a heavy presence in the show that they were like, okay, Red Bull was so dominating last year, no one wants to fucking hear about Red Bull.
Yeah, that's fair.
And so
also, did Checo's like bajillionaire sponsors just pay off Netflix to not put him in it? Maybe.
Maybe.
Who's to say?
Who's to say?
All right. Next up, Zach's the car looks bitchin'.
I mean, that is
quite possibly my favorite moment.
If you had just said that quote out of context and asked me like who I thought would say that, Zach Brown.
so funny. It just reminds me of like the Friends episodes when they would go back in time to like when they were younger and they would like put their hair up and like put the fake nose on Rachel to like to be like before her nose job. Mm-hmm. And she'd be like, yeah, like bitchin'. Like that's the only thing I could think of. I was like, Zach, who are you? Why are you saying this?
It's like when your parents say stuff like that and you're like, hey, great, but we don't say that anymore.
It's so funny. You could also like visibly watch Zach's Ozempic journey through the season. That was a storyline that didn't have its own title.
Like, why didn't we cover that box to box? Like, please, we need to, like, that's the real tea.
It was so funny. It was so funny.
That's why he was probably, like, not really around so much last year, because he was like, I need to show up 2024 in a new bod. In a new bitchin' bod, okay?
Bitchin' bod. The car looks bitchin'.
This bod is
bitching. I'll tell him when you see him. Yo, Zach, you're looking bitching. The Santa of it all. The Father Christmas. The Father Christmas of it all. First of all, what a random moment in time for that Netflix to be at their house. They're like, okay, Netflix is coming. Kids go in one room. We're going to have Santa in the other room. And then we're going to call them in. But we're not really having a Christmas party. It's not like Christmas Eve. Like, this is just a random moment in time that we just, like, are having Santa here for our kids. Very strange. Such a weird time. But then also Santa saying, kids, has your dad been good this year? Crickets, crickets, crickets.
Crickets, crickets.
It does not age well. But you know what they say. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. And Christian said, that sign can't stop me because I can't read.
He said, that doesn't pertain to me. I don't follow the rules.
I'm no longer Christian, but technically he can't stop being Christian.
Well, he's formally changing his name to Christian now because he can't be Christian. Rules.
He can't subscribe to Santa's mold.
Father Christmas is disappointed in Christian Horner, which we'll get into that a little bit later in case you haven't been abreast to the situation. But yeah,
what a word to use for this.
I've been like really into saying abreast lately. I don't know why. I just
Christian
like
has also probably been really into abreast lately.
Got him.
anyways. I want to talk about Alex Albon. This one just popped up too. Alex Albon, new star of our hearts, but star of the show kind of this season in the fact that I think that he actually works for Netflix because he absolutely predicted an entire episode.
Mm-hmm. Or were they just like, hey, Alex said this word for word, so we're going to go ahead and do it.
That's my same thing where I'm like, I wonder if authors of like popular books.
Chicken or the egg,
like,
you know?
I think like I've said this before about Sarah J. Maas, where I'm like, I wonder if she ever gets like writer's block and she just goes online and looks at people's theories and she's like,
well, I wish she would have. I wish she would have for the last one because it would have been way better.
But I wonder if she ever like, that's a good one, I'm gonna use that. Like, I wonder if Drive to Survive did that, where they're like, that's a good one, Alex, we're gonna use that. I think the funniest part of that scene though was Logan sitting next to him just being like, what's happening? And he was just like, okay, dude, you really have been thinking about this.
He's like, I've seen this film before and I did actually like the ending my ending that I created.
Yeah.
No, I loved that scene. And let me tell you, speaking of Alex and talking about Danny, let's just take a moment to discuss how I was smiling ear to ear in Danny's scenes when he was doing Tessie. Oh my God. Like I literally was like, I shed a single tear because of how happy he looked. I was like, that's my man. He was that's just like, my man.
Like giggling and smiling. I was like, oh, we've missed it.
Like
it's so sad to me that Christian is the one that can pull that back out of him. Like,
I really, really, really hate that so much.
I hate it.
But beggars can't be choosers, and I will accept that peace offering right now. And him saying the only person who's going to stop Daniel is Daniel. Okay, what a bar, Christian. I hear that. And then it was just like Danny whipping it around the track and they're like, yeah, so he's putting up max numbers. Should we do this thing or not? Do we want to get
literally
him,
they're like
does he want the AlphaTauri seat? Okay,
put sign him on there. The fucking dotted line right now.
Like, I'm wondering if that's like how the meeting actually went down or if they like revisited it because they were just like, all right, sitting at a table. All right, well, he's putting up bars. Put him on the team. You guys ready for that? Shake hands. Let's go.
Literally.
And also, I was just like, him just like in the garage being like, hee hee hee, I know how good I am. Like, I'm so excited. I was like,
but also so nervous before. And he's like, this is like my one shot, my one opportunity to seize everything I've ever wanted.
Couldn't let it slip.
Am I going to squander it? Am I going to let it slip? Yo, yo.
And then immediately gets in the car,
just
breaks his wrist. And then
I was really nervous. I was like, I already know what happened, so I know that this works out for him. But when he was going around, he immediately like spun. And I was like, you know, in his head, like his heart just stopped. And he was like, get your shit together, Carol.
And then there was the whole drama with Liam being like, well, it should be my seat. Like, as a reserve driver for AlphaTauri, like, that's my seat. Like, I didn't get it. And Christian's like, you'll get your shot. Don't worry about it. It's like, will he? Who knows?
Who knows? But also, we'll get there. This is a thing. So if it gets randomly selected, we've already discussed it. This season turned me into a Liam Lawson stan. I loved him. I thought he was so cute and so funny. Even his like initial little like introduction, I was cheesing when he was like, he did it and they're like, no, that's, and he was like, I did it wrong. And he was like, oh, did I not snap it right? And they're like, no. And he's like, do I have to do it again? They're like, yeah. And he's like, the whole thing? And like, yeah. He's like, what? And it was just like so cute and precious. And I feel like I did not get to know him at all last season
when I know.
He was in there. And I just like loved him. And the scene, oh my God. The scene where there was his first race. And he's like standing outside of like the media room waiting for the press conference. And like Lewis is there and Max is there. And they're all like saying hi to each other. And Liam's just like standing in like at the, like on the wall, just like watching them smiling like a shy, nervous kid on his first day of school. And all the cool kids are there and they know each other and you don't know them. And then they were like, hey, man, what's up? And he's like, hey, it's like, I love you. Like, I love you. You're so cute.
I've seen some of his TikToks and like his girlfriend's really active on TikTok and she like makes him do things and like he started a YouTube series. And so like I've seen him like outside of the racing arena and I do agree he is one of the better personalities in racing.
He's
so
cute.
I hope he gets his shot in the sun at some point because I think A, he performed really well in the car and B, he's just really great. Personality to have on the grid, so I don't think this is the last we'll see of him.
I hope not. I loved him. Okay, someone said Will Buxton wearing makeup ? I don't doubt it.
I mean, everyone needs a little touch up. I'm sure like Lewis was also wearing makeup.
I think everyone when they get on camera for stuff like that wears makeup. Like we've seen Charles and Carlos like take videos of each other getting their makeup done before media stuff. Do I think that maybe Will Buxton asked for a little bit extra? Maybe. I wouldn't doubt it.
I think maybe they did him dirty with the lighting. Like, that's probably where the issue
is. They did everyone dirty with the lighting. I have a bone to pick with Netflix on the lighting situation.
And the filter.
Who was it that goes in there and was like, you need to make it less depressing in here?
It was Alex.
I
feel like I'm in the electric chair.
Yeah, he's like, it is a bit like the electric chair. It is. But Charles has never once looked good in that interview chair. Like,
no.
That, let me tell you, that man is gorgeous. He looks jaundiced every single time he's in there. I'm like, why is his skin tinged yellow? Is he sickly?
Made everyone's teeth look so yellow.
Yeah, and there's like this weird yellow filter.
I was like, why? I was like, Esteban's teeth are not that bad. Like, I know that. I've seen them in person.
There is definitely like a yellow film over it. I don't know, because Charles' skin is yellow. And I'm like, that is not accurate. As my deep fall man.
Deep autumn.
Deep autumn. My deep autumn man. His skin is not yellow. So that's a problem that I have. I'll take that up with them, though. Okay, this one was very interesting, and I picked up on this too. When Lewis and Toto are talking, and Lewis says, I want to reclaim my eighth title. And someone was like, this is the first time we've ever heard him say, like, reclaim and, like, acknowledge that he thinks it was stolen from him. And I was like, I feel like we're about to get Penny Lewis. Like, Lewis
reputation era.
He's like here for it. He's like, the past two seasons have sucked. I need to do this. He's also like, I am getting old.
Yeah.
I have to do this soon. Like, it has to happen. He's getting desperate. And when you get desperate, that's when things start happening. No. And I'm excited.
Hopefully. Hopefully.
I don't think that there's a way in. This would be so. What a horrible story written by the man above if Lewis doesn't get his eighth. Like, I'll be so mad. That's not the way that this story is supposed to end.
Give it to him. He deserves it.
Anyways, well, yeah, we'll see. I just feel like we're about to see him just get petty as fuck with Mercedes this year since he's not going to be there next year.
Yeah. Like, I feel like we're going to get real, like, real honest Lewis on the radio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So here's a question for you. Is people were saying that there was a lot of, like, iconic moments that were missed that they wish they saw in there. So there was, like, George asking, is it raining? And then being like, no, you're sweating.
Just kidding. It's just my sweat.
And like Lando breaking Max's trophy. So are there any things like that that you wish had been included? There's also a lot of people are upset that the Singapore episode didn't focus on Carlos's strategy and like how he gave Lando a toe and like all of that, which I think – and here's – it's kind of back to what I was saying at the beginning where I think that they kind of followed storylines rather than races and saying, like, everything that happened in each race. And at that point, Singapore – I mean, the biggest story of Singapore was that Liam Lawson's first ever time in an F1 car essentially was the Singapore race, which is, like, one of the hardest races of all time that is on the calendar. And, like, he went in there and scored points. So, like, I get that that was the storyline that they chose for Singapore. But obviously would have been nice to see the little Carlando moment.
I'm also trying to remember, Imola getting canceled was the last year, right?
I think so, yeah.
Like, I would have loved just even to touch on that horrific world
flood
event.
Yeah.
To be like, hey, like, here's how the community's doing today. Like, here's maybe how F1 is helping fill in, you know, the infrastructure gaps. I don't, maybe that's not happening, but like,
I think it did. I think there was like a big campaign that they did about raising.
Like, I would have just loved like maybe like a 30 second.
Yeah.
Like, hey, here's what happened. Like, don't forget about it.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was a little out of place because that was like a huge natural disaster.
Yeah. Well, they didn't talk, about a lot of like the worst things that happened because there was no Qatar. They barely talked. They didn't talk about Qatar and like how horrible that was, which a lot of people were upset about. But yeah, I mean, again, too much content, too little time. I'm like, is it time to maybe add a couple extra episodes onto this so that you can get more stuff in? I don't know. But yeah, so I don't know. I feel like they're like in my brain, there are lots of iconic moments, but I'm like, I don't think they needed to necessarily be, in the show because I remember them.
To be honest, I would have watched a whole episode of them just filming the intro shots that apparently exist.
I know
because Alex recently came out and said that everyone had to do all of the poses, and so there are 20 shots of all the drivers doing the iconic George pose. I'm like, I would have loved a full episode of them just doing season promo stuff.
It's just so classic that that's what, like, George is the one that ended up with that one. Like, they did that on purpose.
George is a meme for sure.
100%. Okay, another team that was not in, or another, like, thing that was not in the show was Alpha. There was, like, no Bottas and no Zhou.
I know, I had on my notes. I was like, not a single shot. Not a single shot of Bottas being naked seems sus.
Seems sus. They showed K-Mag's butt instead.
By
the way, I peeked. It was, honestly, they was bitching.
The episode title of this is It's bitchin'.
Drive to Survive is bitchin'. Yeah, I was like, whoa. An unexpected sight to be seen from K-Mag, and feelings I didn't expect to feel.
I love a good bun shot, though.
It was great. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
Which is so funny because we do talk in the group chat a lot about flat butt syndrome.
Yeah.
But when you see a bear like that, you're like, they got some junk in that trunk.
Camouflaging a lot.
It's the suits that are really.
That's the suits for
sure. They're not like hitting their back very well. It's just they got to get it tighter in the midsection.
I'm always down for it to be a little tighter.
Yeah. I would love a little waist pulley so they can kind of just like snatch.
I would love a little like football pant fit.
Yeah. Or like that's the new baseball pants that have come out and then they're like fully see-through.
Yeah.
Who's made those and can we get them into the F1 space?
Maybe. Can you make them fireproof? Yes or no? Edna mode. But I was upset personally that we didn't get a lot of Valtteri because there was not enough mullet content, which means there was no Nick getting a mullet. I was waiting for it. And I did pause the whole Vegas episode when they were like on Thursday and like the drain covers were happening. I just kept pausing to see if we were in the back. We weren't, but I was looking. And I looked in Monza too.
No timestamp tattoo for us.
Too bad. Next year. First of all, we have to talk about Fred. They were like, Gunther's leaving. We're making Fred the new Gunther.
No. They were like, who is going to replace Gunther?
Who gives the least amount of fucks? It's Fred.
It's definitely Fred.
I'm obsessed with him now. Like, I was like, I didn't know anything about him really, but I love him after this season. Like, he just kept blowing raspberries and like making faces. And I was like, I love this energy that you're bringing to the table.
He's just like such a short, stout, bald man. Like, he is a character. He is a cartoon character.
He's a cartoon character.
He's like the exact opposite of Gunther, right? Like, Gunther's like kind of tall and loud and brash, and Fred is just like short and stout and kind of, I feel like he waddles around everywhere.
He's like someone that I just feel like would be like, blah, 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 blah. Like, he would just like talk it, like, you just don't understand him. You're like, I love you. Like, you're so funny. But when
he kind of reminds me of Danny DeVito. Like, I feel like that's kind of the energy.
Non-derogatory.
No, obviously. No, but like, that's I imagine him as Danny DeVito size. I know that he's not actually Danny DeVito size.
I know.
But like, in my brain, I'm like, he's pocket sized for sure.
I really needed Toto to stop fat shaming him though. Multiple scenes, Toto's fat shaming Fred, and I want to be like, Toto, you're not being a girl's girl right now. Quit it.
Next season, we're gonna get Fred's Ozempic journey because of Toto.
Yeah, I was like, Toto, relax. Hop off my man Fred. He's bitching the way he is. All right. But also, first of all, okay, there's just so many things that I just want to talk about. But Fred, in like the Ferrari episode, asking Carlos on the Netflix cameras if he's still single. And Carlos being like, next subject, dude. What do you mean?
Messy.
I was like, okay, Fred is here to stir the pot. But also, someone pointed out that it was in Monza and Carlos was with Rebecca at that point. So either Fred just doesn't know or like, what's happening?
Or maybe they weren't like official.
Or they were not in, it was not filmed at Monza. They just like popped it into that episode. Yeah. But okay, also the Ferrari episode. I love the Ferrari episodes every year because
I love that they have a dedicated Ferrari.
It is just so funny because it's the same thing every year. It's like Italians are single-minded and all they care about is Ferrari. And it's like they made it this like documentary at the beginning with like these staged conversations between like average Italian people in like the barber shop and in like a mechanic's workroom, like talking about Ferrari, and then like ended with it. And I'm just like, it kills me that this is like the narrative that they just like go with every single year for Ferrari.
I mean, par for the course, right? You see
so funny.
All of the Italians holding the Charles Leclerc as Jesus.
Yeah.
Little candles, the cards. It's like God, Jesus, Mary, Ferrari. Like
Charles.
That's, yeah. But like that's the order of operations.
Yeah.
In Italy. And like, again, they are kind of a meme of themselves when it comes to Ferrari. Like,
it's so
you don't want to be stereotypical, but like, I mean, it kind of paints itself.
It was just like every single time I laugh because I'm like, it's just like no other episode or other team gets like the Ferrari treatment. And it's just like every they're like, let's okay, it's time for the Ferrari episode. So cue the theatrics. Like, let's get in here. And it's so funny to me. Another thing that was hysterical was Gunther and Mattia's like ex-team principal support club. Like Gunther being like, I don't know, and him just going to see Mattia at Mattia's new winery, or not new winery, but at Mattia's winery.
Mattia being like,
it's okay, Gunther, like sometimes you really just need to slow down. And Gunther's like, do you still wake up like early in the morning like you used to for F1? And Mattia's like, yeah, but it's coming to the vineyard, not the track. And I was just like, they're having a literal support group meeting right now and we're in on it.
I love it. Although I did see today that Gunther is returning as a pundit, so he'll be back. It's not the last we've seen of Gunther.
Like, so funny. Oh man, I was dying. I was like, this is everything to me. Okay,
I did love that scene. I was like,
we needed
boys,
another one.
The boys are back. Get the band back together. The
boys are back in town. Boys are back in the winery. Okay, theory time. Conspiracy corner. Netflix knew Lewis was going to Ferrari because that – I feel like the storyline was too fleshed out. And people were like, I think they had to have known something because, like, this storyline was too on the nose.
So on the nose, yeah.
Like, I don't know. But also, I was like, the whole like monologue that Lewis was like, I don't see myself ever not being a Mercedes driver. And I'm like, wait, less than a year later, canceling your contract to become a Ferrari driver.
Unless they were just like, all right, we see the writing on the wall. Lewis's contract is up at the end of this season. We know that the car this year was shit. Lewis was incredibly frustrated. The chances of him leaving Mercedes are pretty high. I say we just kind of run with that narrative because ultimately next season he will probably decide Mercedes will either get their shit together and they'll have a great car and then he can be like, you know, I don't know why I ever doubted Mercedes. Like, you know, I always knew the team had it and like we just needed a couple years to get it together. Or they're going to be bad again and he was going to announce that he was leaving the team. So it's kind of, I feel like they were like, all right, this is going to go one of two ways and either way we can kind of spin it with this storyline.
I prefer conspiracy corner that they knew. That Lewis was like, listen, paint the Mercedes team in this way so that when I announce, people get it and they know why. Okay, there was not a ton of wags. Like there were, like you saw bits and pieces, but like Kika got the wag edit of the season. She got like her own dedicated episodes. She had lines.
Yeah. she had lines. Put her on IMDb.
She had several lines. Carmen only had one line and it wasn't even like on purpose. Liam's girlfriend, someone was like, Liam's girlfriend got more screen time than Max. And I was like, that's funny. But other than that, like we saw, I don't even know who else we really saw.
No one.
I don't think anyone, like when they announced that Nico was coming back to replace Mick, they showed photos of him and his wife.
Yeah, but
and like stuff, but like that's not really showing. I don't know. So it was kind of interesting to me. I feel like they didn't focus on the wags too much this season.
Yeah, maybe the wags didn't want to be involved that much. But I feel like also like who are kind of the long-standing wags? Like before, like I feel like last season, who did we see? We saw Carmen,
Tiffany, but there was no Valtteri,
but there was no Botez this year either, and so it's like, all right,
yeah.
Well, the newer wags like Rebecca probably not going to be featured very much, like or like Flavy.
Yeah, or like Alex wasn't really probably going to be in there. They did do a little bit of Lily, and I love that they showed when she was crying when Alex got P8. Oh, so cute. Okay, but I think someone that's everyone's wag is Danny Rick. And to go back to him for a little bit.
Always, please. Dead. Bring it back.
First of all, I need Christian to stop quizzing his kids on Drive to Survive to ask them if they love Red Bull. Like, it was like, remember, he's like, who's your favorite driver? And he's always like, who do you think's going to win? And they're like, and so it was like, how's your horse doing? Is he fast? And he's like, yeah, but I bet Max could beat him. I'm like, okay. But when he was asking his daughter, like, who's your favorite driver? And she said, everyone. And she said, who's your favorite? And he was like, Danny. And everyone was like, I mean, you're real for that. Like, real. Danny's everyone's favorite.
He's everyone's favorite. And it just makes so much sense because, like, Christian has moved mountains for Danny. Like, he's obsessed with him. And it makes me wonder, does Danny have dirt on Christian? Does Danny have blackmail on Christian Horner? And this is why he gets what he gets from Christian?
I mean,
that would be a huge term of events.
It's so funny because I feel like, we saw so much of like Christian and Danny and just getting along and being like pals. But there was like weird tension between other star drivers and their team principals that like we don't usually see. Like there was like Lando and Zach, where Zach was like trying to convince Lando that like the car was gonna be good and he should stay, and Lando's like, why the fuck am I still here?
Because Lando is not Zach's golden boy anymore. We talked about this. It's Oscar now, and Lando is pushed aside. And it used to be Zach gave Lando all of his attention, all of his praise, and now he's got Oscar, he's got a shiny new toy, and Lando's like, the car sucks and I don't get anything.
But he's like, but I'm still gonna stay. I'm gonna stay though, but then also it really made me sad was Toto and Lewis. Like I feel like there was just like such a disconnect between them this season. I felt so sad about it, and like now that we know that Lewis is leaving, I'm like, oh my god, it's gonna break Toto's heart. This is literally a divorce. I'm so upset. Like I am so sad.
Yeah, I mean, again, who knows? That could have been like the only scenes of the tension, right? Like,
yeah,
they did paint that picture. So it's like, could have been taken out of context. But yeah, it was definitely a tough watch, especially since Lewis and Toto have always been. But like, even last year outside of Drive to Survive, we saw like Mercedes not showing up for Lewis when he was on the podium.
I mean, there was really a lot of tension that was really, really, was real. I don't know. I didn't, love Lewis's edit that he got.
Me either.
I felt like they made him look very, diva-ish and just, impatient and annoyed and, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't think that that's what he's like. And I was kind of upset about it. But I guess they did want to use those scenes to, show
his frustration.
So, frustrated and kind of ready to leave. So,
yeah.
Oh, another thing that was very – okay. Rewind to the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. The stroll episode.
Okay.
We have to talk about it. I had to
talk about it. Thank you.
First of all, Lawrence Stroll petting Michael Douglas like a lap dog.
It was the caress.
It was a hair and face stroke that went down to his back. I was like,
if he had longer hair, he would have tucked it behind his ear, you know?
It was like, I was like, you're treating this man like what, like, honestly, if we're going to talk about Lauren Stroll being an evil villain, and we always are like, he's the evil villain, like sitting in the chair, petting the cat's Michael Douglas now. Like he was petting Michael Douglas as a literal cat. It was bizarre. Also, so fun fact, bizarre. Michael Douglas is Nick's dad's doppelganger. Yeah. So it felt weird for me to see Lauren Stroll stroking. I was like, dad? It was very funny. But it was so wild because everyone's like, I love break. I love relaxing. I love not doing things. And he's like, I'll never take a day off. Lawrence and everyone that works there was like, I'm so scared.
They're like, 3 minutes, incoming 3 minutes. And then Toto's like,
The eagle has landed. I repeat.
Toto's like, do I need this wristband? And they're like, yes, you need that wristband. And then 30 seconds later, the woman's like, Lawrence does not need, Mr. Stroll does not need that wristband. Don't even think about putting a wristband on him.
Do not think about. I was like, this is
engage. Do not engage.
It's giving Miranda Priestly, like, it's giving Devil Wears Prada. Everyone is like kicking off their comfy shoes to put on their
gird your loins, like, bitch.
Throwing everything out. They're putting lip gloss on. They're throwing out their carbs. Everyone is just like panicking.
Yeah, it very much was giving, like, the meme I made. While you were golfing, I was studying the blade. Like, that's Lawrence. Like, he's like, don't even think for a single second I wasn't thinking about Formula One.
Not for 1 second.
Also, meanwhile, though, everyone else is like, wow, I love break. I love not thinking about F1. I love having head empty, no thoughts. And then Lawrence is like, not me, bitch.
I mean, he's going to
create we'll never catch me slipping.
Formula One team of all time. And guess what you can't do while you're doing that? Sleep, eat, think about anything else, breathe.
No, nonsense. Can't do it.
No time.
He's sending Lance straight to the top. They're bopping to the top together.
Lance is just absolutely begging to not have to do F1 anymore.
He's, oh my God, in the scene at that party.
Lance threw himself off a bike to get out of doing F1. Self-sacrificing.
Okay, one, Lando asking Lance if he could still wank. So out of pocket,
but so, also, like, and it wasn't for Netflix because the guy had to come over and be like, Netflix is right there, like, the boom mic. And it was like, okay, Lando was just definitely going to ask about that regardless.
Two, when Lance was like, he got like seventh or whatever in that first race. And he was like, you know, all my doctors told me I couldn't. They told me I shouldn't.
Yeah,
and then he's like, but like, I did it anyway. And I was like, okay, then you shouldn't.
Then you shouldn't be there. Like, this is not like a comeback kid story. This is like so scary of you.
Like, I feel like you not only put yourself at risk, you also put like everyone else at risk. He's like, my big toe, I couldn't press the gas or the brake. Like, I couldn't steer very well. Like, dude.
Dude, go out of bed. Sit down for a minute. But also, someone was like, do we think that Lawrence paid Drive to Survive to give him, like, the good dad edit?
Probably.
He's like, I'm obviously thinking first, that is my son. Yeah. I'm always thinking about him as a dad first. That is my son. And I'm like, no, that's your employee. And I know that that's what you're actually thinking. Like, you're hoping he's not filing workplace comp.
He is a tax write-off, first and foremost, like, okay?
I was like, he's trying really hard to beat the allegations that he's not a good dad. Like, he's trying so hard. I was dying. It was funny. So funny. Like, he's like, I just want to make my dad proud. As he's sitting there with, like, literal casts on his wrist still in the car, he's like, I just want to make him happy.
Lawrence is like, if you don't get in that fucking car this weekend, you're dead to me. You're out of the will.
No allowance. Lance is like, please, can I please just do literally anything other than F1? Like, I don't even like it here. Made me laugh.
I'd also really love to talk about the Alpine.
Yeah.
The Alpine of it all. Esteban and Pierre's kind of little friends to enemies story arc they gave them.
Friends to enemies to friends? Who knows?
Potentially.
But I am very intrigued because all it took was the new CEO sitting them down in the office, and now they're like, our relationship's better than it's ever been. And I'm like, don't agree. Do not believe.
No, not for a single second. But it's also like
they're 10 and I'm like, okay, well, Charles and Max should absolutely be like killing each other then. I think personally, Estee Bestie's not really a bestie.
He's
like such a petty little bitch. They're like, you don't get along with a single teammate you've ever had. Like, you're mad. Like, Pierre's like, I've given him so many chances for us to get over it. And he, like, won't do it. Like, he just, like, won't get along with me. And I'm like, Esteban is just petty. And he, like, holds a grudge. And I think he likes to feel like everyone's against me. And I'm like, my guy, if you have a problem with everyone you've ever been a teammate with, I think you might need to look in the mirror. The problem might be you.
Yeah, it was really just some, like, this is over Pierre cutting you off in one
go-karting and then getting disqualified. Like, that's the karma right there.
So, like, what? It's like, gotta be deeper than that.
Well, we
know
that there is something about a girl at some point. I think that like Esteban was dating someone or something and Pierre like stole her or there was some sort of girl drama in there. But like, I think that Esteban just like holds a grudge.
Yeah. It's
and just like does not play well with others.
It's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, this is taking up so much of your mental energy. Why are you continuing to make this a thing? Like,
he's like, it's kind of, the team didn't ask me if they could hire Pierre. They didn't ask me if he could join the team. Like, get over it, my guy.
Yeah, it was get just like, I just don't think it was painting Esteban in a very good light. Pierre came out on top of that.
Speaking of the villain edit, everyone was saying that Charles got the villain edit, and I didn't see it. I don't think he got a villain edit at all.
I mean, I don't know if it's comparative to other seasons, like maybe like slightly more, but like not really.
It was like really weird. Everyone was like, they're painting Charles as the villain. And I was ready to throw.
You were ready to fight. You're like, I can't watch it.
I was like, I'm boycotting this episode. I'm not watching it. I shan't be giving them my time or attention if they're going to treat my man like that. And then I watched it and I was like, I don't know, I feel like Charles comes out as a good guy. Like, he's like, at the end, I know that this race is not about me. And like, I'm so happy for Carlos. And like, we are like great teammates and we've never gotten along better. And like, I'm like, okay, where is the bad guy?
Yeah, I don't know if people saw a different edit and they decided.
I think it was a lot to do with like the episode before Ferrari, like coming up, like on the next episode, there was like a teaser, and I think that they just had them like fighting against each other in Monza, and then Carlos obviously gets on the podium.
Yeah, I mean, it was a rough race for it Charles. Wasn't
great.
Yeah. It wasn't great.
No.
So I can see how if they took some of his conversations out of context, like I could understand how he could be painted in a villain, light, but like I don't think that that's actually how it came across on screen.
Yeah, someone who did come across as a villain on screen, and not necessarily a villain, but maybe a murderer. Yeah, like Nick DeVries.
Okay,
what I was the hell was this like true crime edit they gave him? I was like, this man is a sociopath.
You're so right. Thinking,
like, everything needs to be clean and tidy, and I'm just, you're gonna come over and I'm gonna clean my house, and like, just everything he said was like so robotic. I was like, okay, it was Mr. Roboto. And then he's like in the car on his way to Christian's house for this like shooting thing. He's watching YouTube videos on how to shoot a gun, first of all.
Okay, well, skeet shooting.
And then like talking to his driver, he's like, I believe we're gonna be late. And I'm like, you just are. And then he gets there and just is talking to me. I was like, I've actually never shot a gun before. I'm way more into like peace and harmony. And I'm like, okay, at this like charity skeet shooting event, like at your boss's house, like just
that's why they booted him, because Christian's like, I can't fucking hang with this loser. He's no, like, I can't wonder. Fucking deal with this guy. Get Danny back in here. Like, I can't.
It was just, like, everything about him. I was like, I'm feeling very uncomfortable.
And also, like, when he got fired and it was, like, him on the balcony just, like, looking ominously off into the distance. And then it just ends with him walking out the hotel room and the door shutting. And then we never see him again.
Never. not a single word after that. And also, like, him and his friend just going to play, like, bocce. I was just like, everything about this like Nick DeVries edit is like so off-putting to me. Everything about it was like really, really weird. And to cycle off of that was the Yuki slander in this season.
Yes.
Everyone is slandering Yuki. Nick DeVries first. He was like, yeah, Yuki's talented, but and he literally goes, how should I phrase this? I'm more experienced. And I'm like, okay, well, you just admitted you wanted to say something worse than that, and I'm gonna need you to shut your damn mouth, because Yuki, show what you can do, little guy.
Show what you can do. Also, obviously, Yuki kept the seat, so not looking pretty good for you.
Yeah,
Nicholas DeVries.
And then Liam even like being like, I beat Yuki, I should have the seat. And I'm like, Yuki's been in the sport for like 3 years, shut up. I like you a lot, Liam. Don't test me.
Don't push me.
I just feel like everyone is underestimating Yuki. And I take personal offense to that.
I think that's kind of coming across in a lot of quotes that I've seen from Yuki recently, where he's just like, because they're all obviously asking him. It's kind of coming down to everyone's assuming one of the AlphaTauri or V-Car drivers is going to get the Red Bull seat, right? So they're like, Yuki, like, how are you feeling about being up against Danny for that Red Bull seat? And I think Yuki's just getting really tired of this question and being compared to Danny. And he's like, obviously, he kind of crashed a car last year and he got into an accident. He's barely been in any races. And like, he's like, obviously... He was like, I don't understand having Danny as a second driver.
Yeah.
He's like, it's been tough. And like, I agree. It's hard because I feel like Yuki also probably gets overshadowed by Danny's personality. So I'm hoping that we see some good stuff from Yuki this year.
Me too. I want the best for him.
Yeah.
And I just feel like he just constantly has to like prove himself. And I'm like, you're there, buddy. Like, you're there. Not a rookie anymore. Like, there's so many younger people or like newer drivers on the grid than you. Like, you're firmly here. Okay, we've been talking about this for almost a full hour, so I have one more topic for us to discuss.
Okay,
and then we'll move on from Drive to Survive.
Okay,
we don't like to pit women against each other. I'm gonna preface that this with that. Saying that,
so not really our brand.
Not our brand to pit women against each other. However, Drive to Survive pit Danica Patrick and Claire Williams against each other because incredibly happy to see Claire Williams. When she was like, I'm back, I screeched.
It was like, woo!
I was so happy to have her back because and then obviously no one is excited that Danica Patrick was there. But I was like, here's the thought. I understand what they were doing with both of them. Like the purpose. I think that the commentators this year were really like they had a really good strategy for like the types of experts that they were going to have on because they had Will who just owns stake in Box to Box or something. He's never leaving, but like Will as a journalist and is like one of the most foremost journalists in the space, like he's an expert on F1, so he's always going to be there. I think Claire was genius to have from like an ex-team principal side. So she's like, I know how these things go, but like doesn't have to come on and feel like, you know, there's bias. Obviously she like wants Williams to do well because it was her team, but it's not like having another team principal on there. So I feel like her expertise and like opinions were so valuable and like really interesting to hear from her as someone to be like, I could put myself in Toto's shoes as he's dealing with Lewis. I can put myself in James Vowell's shoes as he's dealing with Williams. I've been there. Like all of these things, I was like, this is super valuable. And I think the thought was there with Danica, like let's put a racing driver from a different series, but someone who can like speak to like the mental side of things for the drivers, like Claire can do for the team principals, if those are going to be like the two main sets of people. I just think that they didn't necessarily think it through. I think they were like, we need a woman.
Yeah.
And which like, great, but maybe let's think about it. Like personally, Naomi Schiff should have had that. She does everything that Danica does, except she's awesome. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, she is a former race car driver. She still works in F1 and is a presenter and is like deeply entrenched in the world. And I just feel like she would have had great commentary. Like, they use her for so many, like, Sky Sports things and F1 things. Like, she would have had great insights.
Yeah.
And is, like, friendly with a lot of the drivers, too. Like, she, you know, hangs out with them. She would know more about what's actually going on.
Meanwhile, anyone who works with Danica Patrick on the F1 grid is notoriously, like, hate working with her. So it's like, I just saw her on my screen and I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, nails on a chalkboard, her voice just grates every fiber of my being. And I just feel like they didn't read the room by adding her. And again, like you said, it just felt like they wanted a woman to have a woman, which is like really fucking disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully they hear the calls. and the thoughts and change things up for next year because – but I do, like, not want that to, like, go badly on Claire Williams because I think she was, like, an excellent addition.
They had Susie as commentary for a little bit too. Yeah. Loved that. Yeah. It's just, like, Danica, why?
Yeah. So that was a bummer. But – I do – I'm going to end on a positive and say, like, I loved having Claire there. And I thought that she added a lot of really valuable insights and, like, a really interesting way for us to look at, like, the things that were happening. And I just, like, appreciated seeing her again. And I appreciate that she's still kind of getting her props from, like, Drive to Survive and F1 because I feel like there was, like, a very, like, unceremonious exit for her where she was just being gone. Speaking of unceremonious
exits.
And I was like, we have one more thing to talk about.
Wait a minute. We have one more thing to talk about.
Gunther's in memoriam goodbye. I was like, this seems – it just seems like it was basically just, like, his contract was not renewed by and, like, black screen, white text. How rude.
I was in shock. Considering last year they did a whole, like, 3-minute
goodbye, Danny.
You were bigger than the whole sky montage on Danny Rick.
And then he was back again.
I just was like, Gunther is the face of Drive to Survive. Like, I obviously understand that Danny was a huge asset to Drive to Survive. But, like, Gunther was the biggest meme in Drive to Survive for, like, the first 3 to 4 years. Yeah. And to have him just be, like, walk off into the sunset with, like, no greatest hits.
Literally.
I was ready to fight for him.
Mm-hmm.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I was pissed.
Oh, that pit. And then on top of the Danica Patrick thing, I was like, this is why I was pissed off about the season. Because I was like, it just felt like there were so many things where I was just like, why? Why?
I was upset. To say the very least. And I was like, what a way to end the season. I loved it. And then this happened. Upset. Anyways, that's Drive to Survive. If you didn't watch it, now you did. And that's what you missed on Glee.
Let's talk a little bit about – let's cover a few F1 things in the news this week before we log off for this week.
Yeah, I feel like this is mostly – Drive to Survive.
Yeah.
With a sprinkling of F1 because we gotta bring in current events, not just last season. Yeah. So tell me about testing, Nicole. Tell me about it.
So obviously this past weekend was testing. And we have seen some teams already kind of separate themselves into winners and losers already from testing. And now again, we have to take everything with a grain of salt because some teams could be sandbagging. Some teams might just not, you know, have a good feel for the car. That's the whole point of testing, right? Is that they have this time before they go into the new season, before the first race to, like, really work out some kinks. So right out of the gates, some winners, Red Bull, no surprise there. But in the last two practice sessions of the weekend, Ferrari did clock the fastest laps. So quote from Charles and Carlos is that they are looking cautiously optimistic.
They're like, we are not going to say a single good word.
Cautiously optimistic about kind of the car and the progress they've made from last season. But who's to say Red Bull could just be like, la-di-da-di-da out there and whatever. Mercedes is also looking pretty fire. Overall, kind of happy with the changes that they made. Suzuki is looking absolutely fire tonight. And then Red Bull Racing Bulls V-Carb also looking pretty good, which good for Danny. If the car is fast this season, then that gives him a better chance for going over to Red Bull. And you know what? Maybe... speaking of, and Christian, you know, kind of whispering in Liam Lawson's ear, you'll get a shot. Maybe Checo's out, Danny's up, Liam's in.
That's what a lot of people are thinking.
Right?
I've heard the rumor mill churning that piece of gossip out.
Well, I subscribe to that. I think that's a good kind of cup of tea. The Checo fans, they hate us because we were mad at the Pope and also... because now we are kind of rooting for Checo's downfall. The bad team.
You have to bring the Pope back up.
Let it lie. I'm never letting it die.
Let it lie.
It's part of our lore.
Ixnay on the Ope.
And then unfortunately, the teams who are kind of looking like losers so far, Williams, but
looking like losers.
I think James had a really good quote where he was like, listen, we have completely overhauled our strategy from last year. We're working with a completely different car. Like, we have some things to figure out. It's still, like, don't count us out.
Yeah. I believe in James.
See, me too.
James supremacy.
Me too. I loved his story in this season of Drive to Survive, though, too. Like, I loved loved he was his team principal line. Yeah. Haas, unsurprisingly so, to see them in the bottom of the barrel there. Alpine, unfortunately, which we've already seen headlines come out about Pierre being pissed and thinking about where he's going to jump to next. And then, unfortunately, Aston Martin is also not seeing the progress that they'd hoped. But Lauren said, well, we made huge strides between 2022 and 2023. It's unreasonable for us to have made those same strides going into 2024. So, fine. We'll see kind of how it shakes out. A
couple extra vacation days over the winter, I guess.
I think Lawrence decided this year he was going to vacay, and look how that turned out for him. So
that just goes to show, if you want to get it right, you can't take any days off.
You got to grind always. Grind mentality. We've got the first race this weekend. Tomorrow as when this is out. So, well, not tomorrow, the first race, but the weekend festivities kind of kick off, and let's see how things shake out on the actual race day. So it's only the beginning.
Today, the day that this comes out.
Today's the day. The sun today's is shining. The tank is clean.
The sun is
welcome
shining.
Welcome to the 2024 F1 season.
We're back.
We're back.
Officially.
But you know who might not be back.
You know who might not be back? Our man Christian.
As of today, allegedly.
Yeah, it's TBD. This is on, we're recording this, update alert, we are recording this on Monday, February 26th, at approximately 6:52 p.m. is when we're talking
Eastern.
About this. So Eastern Standard Time. So if anything happens between now and the day that this comes out, know that we're not behind the times, we just weren't there yet.
Yeah, we weren't able to see the future.
We were in the past.
Yeah, but there has been rapid increase of Christian Horner news in the past week. Mm-hmm. If you're not, like I said, abreast to the knowledge, there is a lawsuit or allegations against Christian for sexual misconduct in the workplace. Apparently, there were photos being sent to an employee from Christian Horner, and she has filed suit against him. And there's also kind of alleged payoffs to Dutch media in the tune of 750,000 euros. But clearly that article still got published. Yeah. And
someone leaked a letter that Ford sent to mm-hmm. Red Bull to AP. So if you're interested, you can go to AP and read it. We're not making this up. This is not a rumor that we're starting. Let's be clear, that basically said Ford was saying that they're really disappointed that nothing has happened yet, and that there hasn't been more transparency in the situation, and that they want a resolution like ASAP.
Before Bahrain.
Yeah. So the rumors are that there will be a decision made in the Christian Horner case, whether or not he will keep his job by the time this podcast comes out. So
yeah,
maybe I'm excited to see. As you're listening to this, I'll be finding out.
I will be finding out at the same time. But I think one of my favorite rumors from that article that came out is that allegedly that there's a thought that potentially the person who leaked that letter was Max Verstappen himself.
And his dad.
And now if that's true, if that were crazy. To be true, that would be a huge turn of events.
That would be insane.
Absolutely insane. Or was it Checo's camp? Because they're like, if Christian's out, then I can stay.
Maybe I'm in. Maybe.
So I don't know, but it's all very horrible. Apparently there were 100 pieces of evidence brought against Christian in the deposition. So it's not looking good for him. Which is why Santa, no, daddy has not been good this year. So who knows? It's looking very likely we are going to have F1 without Christian Horner this season and potentially forever. So
He used to bring the mess, and now he is the mess.
Yep. I mean, unsurprising. I just feel like I'm constantly let down by men in power, positions constantly. Of power. So,
you know where we don't have that though, and this is our final segment before we close off, but we said last week 2024 is the year of F1 Academy for us, and so we will be having an F1 Academy segment on every podcast, and so that this is that for today. And it's run by women, and they'll never let us down. They might, but less likely. So there are two new sponsors. Last week we talked about Charlotte Tilbury, just announced today when we're recording this, Tommy Hilfiger mm-hmm. is a new partner sponsor of F1 Academy. So they are sponsoring a car. The driver is Nerea Marti. She is Spanish and she's driving for Campos Racing. She was in F1 Academy last year. She finished fourth in the standings and was the eighth different race winner when she won at Le Castellet, and she got 5 podiums and 1 pole position in the inaugural season last year. So a returning vet driving the Tommy Hilfiger car, which is an iconic livery. It just like is so mm-hmm. Tommy Hilfiger. So excited to see that. We also have Puma joining the F1 Academy grid. So their driver is Aurelia Nobles. She's a Brazilian-Belgian driver driving for Art Grand Prix. And this will be her category debut for F1 Academy. So she's brand new to the grid. So excited to see where she and Puma get to. And then there was another new driver announced. I know last week in your deep dive, there were a couple teams where you're like, we haven't yep. heard about the third driver. So Jessica Edgar is a British driver, and she is going to be the driver for Rodin Motorsport. And she is driving an F1 Academy livery for the first race. So excited to see that. But that is a quick little F1 Academy update for you, and excited to kick off that season as well.
Let's go, girls.
Let's go, girls. That's all we've got for you this week, because this was really long because we didn't think we were going to talk that long about Drive to Survive. And then
turns out we have a surprise. Lot of
opinions. It was bitching.
It was bitching. And on that note, I hope everyone has a bitching week.
A bitching week. And until next time, we'll see you on the bitching internet.
We'll see you on the internet. Bye.
Bye.